Well, there are various times, aren't there, when we wonder, what is going to keep me going? What's going to keep me going? Maybe when our workload is just sort of off the chart, we've got back-to-back meetings scheduled all day, maybe you've got exams, maybe just your email and to-do list just go on for pages and pages, and we ask, oh, just what's going to keep me going to the end of all of this? But if we're a follower of Jesus, have we asked this about the Christian life? What is going to keep me going? Will I still be going as a Christian in, say, 10 years' time, 30 years' time, 50? Maybe we'd like to hope so, but what is it that will keep us going right to the end? Because it can be hard to keep going as a Christian. There are many challenges to following Jesus. Maybe we experience this in the workplace. Maybe people roll their eyes when Christianity is brought up, and maybe we feel quite isolated or discouraged, perhaps. Or maybe we're just feeling weary as a Christian, and the thought of sort of keeping up all our involvement at church and with sort of workplace ministry, that kind of stuff, just all feels a bit overwhelming. So what will keep Christians going? And maybe if you're here just more looking into Christian things, maybe you've also asked that question. Maybe you've wondered whether Christianity is more of a fad for people that is likely to wear off after some time. But here we see today that the opposite is true, that actually God will make sure that anyone who has really put their trust in Jesus will stick with it right to the end. Let's dive into our passage here and we'll see what it is that will keep Christians going. You'll see Paul's encouragement spread over the two main points on the back of your handouts there. Keep working in light of your salvation, knowing that God is working in us. So first of all, Paul says, keep working in light of your salvation. Please have a look down to verse 12 of Philippians 2. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. The Philippians had started well as Christians. Paul says they've always obeyed. But that doesn't mean that they can now sit back and relax and take the foot off the pedal, spiritually speaking. Paul is their mentor, but he is now writing from prison, and he's aware that he may not ever see them again. He may even be executed. But he's saying that even without me around, well, I want you to keep going as Christians. My beloved, as you've always obeyed, so now not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, work, he says. He wants them to be like that athlete who keeps training even when the session is over, even when the coach has gone home. What are they to keep working at? Well, last week we saw Paul urging Christians to have Jesus' mindset, to be putting the spiritual needs of others first. So essentially, the work is living sacrificially for the gospel. He says, keep going with this. It is the Christian life. But Paul describes it here as working out your own salvation. Now, we mustn't misread this. Paul doesn't say work for your own salvation. That is what other religions say, that you need to work to get good karma, that you need to keep the rules and hope that you've done enough to pass and please God. But that is not Christianity. Jesus has already done all the work of salvation. Jesus alone deals with our sin and makes us right with God. We don't contribute anything to our salvation. We simply trust Jesus' work on our behalf. So we don't work for our salvation, but Paul does say, work out your salvation. If we're Christians here, we already have salvation, but Paul says that should motivate us to work in light of being saved people. If you're a tennis fan, maybe you're watching Wimbledon, you may know that Rafa Nadal recently won a record-extending 22nd Grand Slam title at the French Open. And he is certainly the all-time great there in Paris. He is the king of clay, they call him. He's won that tournament 14 times. There he was already guaranteed a VIP place to their best show courts for life, wasn't he? And yet, in the months running up to that tournament, Nadal, age 36, was still putting in all the hard yards of training, still working hard. And he came out in Paris and he put in just as much effort as ever, as anyone else. And the same is true at Wimbledon, storming through to the quarterfinals yesterday, I think. The difference now is that he is no longer working to prove himself. He plays now knowing that his status is already secure. And what he's doing is he is simply working out that status. It is a motivation for him to keep going. And that is the same sense in which Christians should work. I mean, because of Jesus, our status too is already secure. We are already guaranteed a VIP place in God's best show court. We are citizens of heaven, Paul says, if we're trusting, following Jesus. But the Christian life isn't about getting a ticket that we then just shove in our back pocket so that we can then sit back and relax for the rest of our lives. That would be like Nadal turning up at the French Open or at Wimbledon and just not really trying, not being bothered to run for any balls or anything like that. It just wouldn't happen. It would just be wrong, wouldn't it, in light of who he is. And so too, we should keep working hard to live out our status, to work in light of our salvation. Paul's encouraging us, don't give up, don't take your foot off the pedal. Don't settle for a sort of half-hearted, lethargic Christian life where we perhaps tamely just limp over the finish line. But maybe this idea of continuing to constantly work out our salvation sounds a bit exhausting, a bit draining. The thought of living out the Christian life with Jesus' sacrificial mindset, well, that is a hard thing to do. And so we may be asking ourselves, well, are we really able to do this? Are we really able to do this right to the end of our lives? But we mustn't be overwhelmed, because there is help at hand. And I think verse 13 of this chapter is one of the most encouraging verses of the whole Bible that I've come across, if you have a look down there. Paul's saying, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for, verse 13, it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. We're on to the second part of our heading. Keep working, knowing that God is working in us. This is really the answer to our question, what will keep Christians going? Although we are called to keep working ourselves, well, here we see that as we work, it is really God who is working in us. God is the one who will keep us going, because as we work, God works. I've always enjoyed cycling around London, cycled to work and everywhere, cycled here today. But in recent years, those electric bikes have just popped up everywhere, haven't they? And to be honest, sometimes I'm a little bit jealous, because there I am, about to go over a bridge, sort of ready for a hill start. And there's one or two others there. And if you're a cyclist, you'll know that you're kind of slightly sizing each other up, saying, oh, that guy's in Lycra, he's going to be pretty nippy. Watch out for him. And you catch a glimpse of a delivery guy at the back, you think, oh, he'll be no trouble. I'll be faster than him for sure. But then the lights go green and you're all off and you hear this motor kick in behind you. And the delivery guy zooms past all of you and he's up off the hill, up the hill with no trouble, because he is on an electric bike. And I am left there straining away, trying to put in all the effort myself to get up this hill. And he is away into the sunset. See, the beauty of an electric bike is that this power is unleashed as you start pedaling. As you work, the bike works as well. And that is a bit like the Christian life, as Paul is saying here. We don't sit back and let God do all the work, just as those bikes don't pedal themselves. But as we work, God works. Two things happen together. As we seek to live out Jesus' mindset, God's very power is unleashed, enabling us to keep going. Except it is actually even better than that. Have another look down at verse 13 if you would. It is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. God helps us to will to do things as well as to do the work. He is changing our desires so that we actually want to live for him. And then he enables us to carry it out. Isn't that an encouraging thought? That every time we've even wanted to live for Jesus in some way, Well, that is evidence of God at work within us. Every time we've even wanted to see the gospel advance in our workplace, perhaps. Every time we've maybe invited someone to a Christian event, whether or not they took up that invitation. Every time we've been public about following Jesus. Every time we've tried to encourage another Christian, or prayed for someone, or helped out at church or something. Even in those small things, that is the Almighty Creator God at work within us. Isn't that an incredible thought? I think that's why verse 12 speaks of fear and trembling. The thought of God unleashing his power within us. It's meant to make us just go, wow, that is staggering. And remembering this really does make all the difference when the Christian life is hard. For instance, we hear people rubbishing Christianity, maybe in your office. But if we can remember that God works through the weak efforts of people like us, it might just help us to be willing to stick our necks out and to try and use even that conversation as an opportunity to tell people about Jesus. And see, this promise of God working alongside us turns the idea of living publicly as a Christian from being something that is primarily a scary thing to being something that is, I think, primarily an exciting thing. You see, it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Well, that's really the main point of our passage today, for us to keep working, knowing that God is working in us. But the following few verses flesh out what difference this should make in our lives. Paul gives us some examples of what it might look like in practice to work out Jesus' mindset, to live the sacrificial Christian life with God's help. So you'll see the first example on the sheet, and please excuse the rhyming, slightly cheesy, but maybe memorable. Don't whine to make sure we shine. Verse 14 says, do all things without grumbling or questioning, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. It's very easy to grumble when we are finding living for Jesus hard work. Maybe there's that person, a Christian even, and they're just getting on our nerves, and we feel the temptation to just pipe them down with maybe a harsh word, or by giving them the cold shoulder. Or maybe we're just tired and we're tempted to skip our usual Bible study or church. We want to trade building up other Christians for the sofa. Or maybe we feel isolated at work because we are the one who is not willing to bend the truth in our team to our clients. Maybe we're the one who's not joining in with the gossip. Maybe living as a Christian means that we're given a hard time, or we get left out of social things or even career opportunities. And we're tempted to be a bit resentful for that sometimes, if we're honest. But Paul says, do all things. Live the Christian life without grumbling. Don't whine, in a sense, he says. Don't whine as though God is not good. Remember that God is good. He is at work helping us. Verse 15 gives us more motivation, I think. It says, remember who we are. It reminds us that we are children of God. You see, Christians have been brought into God's family. We are his precious children. And we have the privilege of being able to call God our Father. But along with that privilege comes a responsibility. It said that when the Queen and her sister, Princess Margaret, were small children and going off to a party one day, the Queen Mother said to them, now remember, girls, royal children, royal manners. See, people would be watching them, and they had a responsibility to show the royal family likeness. And similarly, children of God have a responsibility to show God's family likeness to those around us. And one way to do that, to show that we belong to God, is to not grumble when others would, when we're tempted to do so, but rather to seek to be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation. Each of those words there is packed with meaning. To be blameless means to be above criticism to onlookers. innocent there. It doesn't mean sinless, and no one's sinless, but it's the idea of having pure motives, being single-minded, wholehearted, having a clean conscience, without blemish. And that is the way the Old Testament sacrifices were described. So I guess it's the idea of a life that is fit to be offered to God as a sacrifice. Now remember, we don't have to conjure all this up on our own. This is the work that God is committed to doing within us. But it will be very distinctive, won't it? Because it is in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation. That phrase is quoted from Deuteronomy in the Old Testament. It reminds us of the failings of God's people in the Old Testament. They were supposed to be distinct from every other people on earth. But when the going got tough, they grumbled against God, and they became just like the nations all around them, joining in with crooked, twisted ways. So I guess Paul is saying that we now have the opportunity to be the new people of God, to be the people that God wants us to be. And because God is at work within us, well, we are not doomed to the same mistakes. Sure, we'll never be perfect, but we really can live as God's children with God's family likeness. And as we work at this, well, verse 15 says that we will have the opportunity to shine as lights in the world, to be these sort of beacons that point people to God's truth, that show people a different and better way to live. Christians will stand out. And sometimes that will mean that we feel quite isolated, surrounded by the darkness in our workplaces, maybe in the wider world. But again, I think we're supposed to see the privilege of this, that we can shine. And just as people love to stop and gaze at the stars on a dark, starry night, well, so too people will be drawn to stop and to notice Christians living these distinctive lives. Our lives will be powerful as we seek to do this. They will display the work of God. So don't whine, another such behaviour, to make sure we shine. But one final example of working out our salvation. Paul says, hold fast to make sure we last. Verse 16, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labour in vain. You see, Paul wants these Christians to keep holding fast to the word of life, that is the gospel message about Jesus, what he's done for us. Because that is what will keep them running the Christian race, just as Paul had. He doesn't want all his labours for them to be in vain. He longs for them to make it to the end, to the finish line, and to join him in heaven. But it's quite striking that Paul says that this is something we're going to need to work hard at as Christians, to holding fast to God's word, because that is not always an easy thing to do. I mean, it takes effort to not just attend a church or a talk or a Bible study, but to really engage with what God is saying and to be seeking to build others up afterwards. But that is the kind of work that God will be helping us to do, to desire and to do. And we may have experienced this. I mean, often I don't feel like I'm reading my Bible by myself amidst the busyness and distractions of life. But when we do open it up for a few minutes, I wonder if you've had the experience that we often end up enjoying it and getting much more out of it than we'd expected. And we are really glad that we put in the effort to do so. See, God has been helping us. See, God wants to help us to hold fast to his word, because that is what will make sure that we make it to the end. A bit like if you've ever seen the sprinters, the runners in the Paralympics, who cling on to a guide rope that makes sure that they stay on track for the finish line for the visually impaired. Well, God's word is our guide rope. We're to hold it fast, because that is what will make sure that we stay on track and last to the finish line. So I wonder, how tight is our grip on God's word? Whether things are going well or whether we're facing struggles and setbacks, where do we turn? When anxiety kicks in, whose voice do we seek out first? Paul says that the first place that we should turn, whatever situation, is the Bible. Of course, friends and family and so on can help, but only God's word offers true life as Paul puts it here, words of life. So let's hold them fast to make sure we last. And if we're able to do that, well, it will help us to shine better as well. The word holding fast can also mean holding out. And I think one leads to the other. If we're holding fast to God's word, then we'll also want to hold out the wonderful promises that we are reminded of, the good news of Jesus. We'll want to share it with other people. So as we close, I hope this gives us real encouragement to keep going with Jesus, to keep going with his word, whether we are more at a stage of investigating or whether we're really already following Jesus. Sometimes we might wonder whether we can keep it all up, whether it seems just too much, too tiring. But wonderfully, we don't do it in our own strength. Today is a promise that God will be helping us, that as we take up renewed efforts, God, the God Almighty, will be unleashing his power in us and through us. What an end in a short prayer, if I may. Father God, thank you so much that as your children work, that you are at work within us, giving us the right desires and the ability to shine as lights of the world. Please help us to hold fast to your word, to all that Jesus has done for us, so that we can keep going to the very end. Amen.